theaters or movies.
No, no theaters. No. See, he owned a chain of theaters. He owned, I forgot now what it was called, but he owned, I think, two or three theaters there in Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
Abe Blank. And I think he owned theaters in Omaha. He was a well-to-do, you know, show.
And would you go with friends, or would you go alone?
Well, sometimes, very often, if I went in the afternoon, I went alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because these friends didn't get passes.
Mm.
But then we'd usually eat together at night. But I did, I made a lot of friends there. But believe me, this getting to go to a movie, if I went to them alone mm-hmm. a lot of times. It didn't bother me.
Were most of your friends still young women, or did you also see young men?
Oh, some young men, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah.
And how would you meet them?
Well, they used to, sometimes at the Y, I remember one time at the Y, they had, they brought in all the CCC boys, and they had a dance. They'd have mixers and things mm-hmm. like that. And then one of these girls told me about a church where we'd go, they used to have church services at night. I didn't go to church very often, but... they'd have these mixers where there'd be, women, young women mm-hmm. and young men, and they played games. I don't remember. It seemed like we were always sitting around in a circle doing something. But no, sometimes, and then you'd meet young men that way, and very often one of them would take you home, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And... So, and then my mother had a cousin in Des Moines, so I had to go out and see her every once in a while. I had stayed with her till I got this job first, so I went out there sometimes. There was always something to do, mm-hmm. and what else did we do? As I recall, that was I liked that time in Des Moines, but of course I was... young, and I was in the city, but this chance to come to California, boy.
Before that chance occurred, what was your thought about your future?
Well, of course, we always thought that the Depression would be over right away, and I intended to go back to college. See, I had gone to college at Iowa State College the summer between my teaching jobs.
Oh, I see.
So I had some units, and... and I was going to try to save money so I could go back to Iowa State. And even after I came out here to California, I figured I'd stay a couple of years and then go back to Iowa State. Well, I didn't. I went out here. Then another thing, they had some typing classes at the Y. But there again, sometimes it was kind of difficult to get down there at night because maybe this, even though I had the evening off when I was working for this lady where there's no children, maybe she'd have a dinner that would last late, and I'd have to miss that class. But I did enroll in that typing class, and I got introduced to a typewriter. See, when I went to this high school I went to, did not have any typing or business courses at the time I was in school. Now, I think the year or 2 years after I graduated, they put them in, but they didn't have them when I was there.
So your plan had been all down the way
to finish college.
To go back and finish college and go into teaching?
Probably, yes. Mm-hmm. Probably, yes. But I was going to be a home ec teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go to Iowa State. Well, I had gone there, and I had expected to finish that. Of course, I changed my mind after I got out here because I found out that it was pretty difficult to get home ec courses at night. See, most of my college work out here was done at night. And I liked history. I'd always liked it, so I decided so I changed my major. Mm. However, every one of those units from Iowa State College transferred. I didn't lose it. Not a one.
Now, tell me about coming out here then. This family was related to the Blank house?
No, they were related to... I worked for more than one family in Des Moines. I had worked for this one family, and then the sister of the people in California, and then she had decided not to keep it anymore, so I had to get another job. But we had remained friends. And as a matter of fact, she was very friendly. They never treated me like a maid. I ate right at the table with them. She used to take me in the car with her. She had dogs, and she used to like, now there again, sometimes in the afternoon, I suppose I could have been resting, but she had these dogs she liked so well, and she wanted to take them for a walk. They lived out the edge of town. And she'd say, oh, come on, go with me, Frieda, for a walk with the dogs. So she had been very friendly, and then they didn't keep, I think she got a once a week cleaning woman or something like that. See, her husband liked to cook anyway, so actually the biggest thing to do there was the cleaning, and I think she got a once a week cleaning woman and didn't keep a maid anymore. So this was about a year later, you see, that her sister had written. So I jumped at the chance to come to California.
So you worked in Des Moines as a household worker for about a year or something?
Over a year. Mm-hmm. I think about not quite 2 years, mm-hmm. I think it was.
When was it that you came out to California then? What year?
In 1934. So it was just under 2 years.
And the idea was you were coming out to be your mother's helper, essentially.
Yeah, mm-hmm. out here, yes. Now, these people were very... I ate at the table with them, too. And I never wore a uniform.
Where did they live?
In Pasadena. Mm-hmm. He was... he had this... he had an insurance agency. And I stayed with them for over a year. And then I was... let's see, from there... I had a chance to go work for another family where I make more money. See, they really, the baby was a year old by then, and there was no point in them paying big money. I think, when I left, she did the work herself.
How much were you making over there?
Seems to me they paid me $5 a week. Mm-hmm. I think that was what I, because when I went to this other place, I think I was getting $7. I was always to want to make as much as I could.
Now, did you know any people out here when you came out here?
No, nobody but they. Nobody.
How did you go about making friends?
Well, there again, I went to the good old Y. Oh, and then she told me a friend of hers had a maid that introduced me to, now it was through that maid that I really met so many people. There was a woman from the Pasadena Presbyterian Church that had a group of young folks meeting in her home on Sunday night. They called it the Fellowship Forum. And that's where, I met all these nice young people and really began to date seriously. We just had a ball. She and her husband took us up to the mountains. Well, of course, different ones drove their cars, most of the fellows out here had a car, I found out. And so I got in with that group and right away. And while I didn't meet other people, other places, that was the group with the strongest attachment. And then, part of the bargain was my sister was getting out of high school that year. And this family that was related to the family in California, the Ruisons, were driving out that summer. And part of the bargain was that they would bring her out with them. Mm. So she came out with them. And they didn't, they brought her out, no charge. And then she went to work for a family for a while. And then she didn't care for that too much. So she started to Pasadena City College, and she got an NYA job. And went to she went to Pasadena City College.
But then you basically would go from one household to another in terms of
I did
more.
For a while, and then I got some people I knew were opening a restaurant in Glendale, so I got a job as a waitress there.
When was that?
Let's see, what year was that? I think that was. That must have been 1935. Mm-hmm. I had been out here, it must have been 36. I know I had been out here just about 2 years, I think. Mm-hmm. Just about 2 years.
And how did you know these people through the
this woman that had, the maid, it was her relatives that were opening the restaurant. So that was a good connection. She really, I haven't seen her for a long time, but so then I got a then I worked at that restaurant went broke, incidentally. Of course, that wasn't my fault. But so I, of course, a waitress. Once you have a little experience, you can always get a job as a waitress. So I would take. I wasn't like some people that were would stay out of work a long time to look for just the job. I'd take a job, but I never left anybody in the lurch. I mean, I wouldn't just tell them today that I won't show up for work tomorrow. Then I'd look for a better job and give them notice. And let's see, I worked at a drugstore in Glendale at a soda fountain. There I met a fella, and we became engaged. We didn't get married. We broke the engagement off. But then, let's see, then I moved back to Pasadena.
Where did you live when you started working in the first restaurant?
I moved in with this friend in her apartment. We lived here in Glendale.
Uh-huh. So that was really the first apartment. Time on your, in your own household, in effect.
Yeah.
How was that?
Oh, it worked out well because it was a small apartment and we didn't do any cooking there. You see, we both ate at the restaurant and we both kept it clean. And it worked out fine until, let's see, when she moved out, I'm trying to think where in the world I don't remember. I believe I kept the apartment even after she moved out because I know I did because I got this job for a while, but... that fountain didn't pay very much, and seems to me I had a chance to get a job in Pasadena. I know I moved back to Pasadena. Mm. Oh, I know. Then my sister and I got an apartment together over there, and we were both working in restaurants.
Oh. Now, how much were you making in the restaurant at the fountain?
I can't remember what in the world, whatever the minimum was, but I got tips.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I worked at this... I worked at this Alpine Chalet in Pasadena. Now there was a connection there. These people that I had come out here to work with, a relative of theirs knew the woman that ran the Alpine Chalet, and I was always considered a good worker. So I got the job, and that is, and my sister and I had an apartment together till she got married, but that's where I saved enough money to buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, you know, I was pretty independent. And
what was your thought at that point about college and also about marriage?
Oh, well, I had broken up with this one fella. Of course, I figured maybe I would get married sometime, but I wasn't too anxious about it. And I found out one thing. As soon as I started working in, every time I had an opportunity to, I worked in one restaurant where they put me on the breakfast shift. And that suited me fine because I worked there till through lunch, and I was through by about... 1:30, and I enrolled for a couple of classes at Pasadena City College, and I took, because I could go to, I think I only took one class, I've forgotten whether I took two classes 3 days a week, I know I took 6 units.
Mm-hmm. What sort of classes did you take?
Well, let's see, one was psychology, I hadn't had that yet, and what in the world else did I take? It was all something that I hadn't already taken at Iowa State, and would count toward a degree.
And at this point, you were still thinking about teaching.
I was still thinking about a degree, yes. I still wanted to finish college. I guess I wanted to do that from the time I was big enough to know that there was colleges to go to. So.
And then when your sister married, you kept your apartment, though, and then?
Let's see. No, I moved to the Y for just a short time, and there I met some other girls, and we moved into an apartment together.
Oh, how many of you?
There were 4 of us for a while, and that didn't work out very well. It did for a while, but not for long. So then one of the other girls and I got an apartment.
What were the sorts of problems that you had?
Well, I didn't notice it so much because I was working in a restaurant. Two of us were working in restaurants and getting our meals, but the other two weren't. And the one was a nurse, but she didn't have regular duty. So sometimes it was kind of hard for her to scrape up her rent money. And then the other girl, but see, the two of them shared a room. And then one, then I had the solarium. That was, I had a room by myself. And the other one had a room by herself. But the two that shared the room, the one said the other one didn't take a bath off. Don't put, erase that. Don't put that in. Be ashamed if that went into the records. Because that woman might, if she went over around and let it. But that was one of the problems. And so the three of us, well, this one girl decided she could move back home because her parents lived out in East Pasadena. And Betty and I decided we could move in together. Now, we didn't just leave Peg in the lurch. We gave her some notice that we thought, I've forgotten what the reason we gave. I think the big thing was Irene said she wanted to move home. And so we didn't want to look for another. Betty and I were able to find an apartment together, so Peg just had to find something on her own. But, I mean, she had some time to do it. And I don't know what ever happened to her. I think I saw her once after that. She worked so often at night at nursing, and, of course, I worked during the day, so I never really got very well acquainted with her. But
so your social life, did that revolve still around this fellowship group?
Yes, very much, because even when I was engaged to this fellow I met in Glendale, we still went out there. There were so many nice young people out there, and some of them that I see once in a while yet, not very often, but no, really, I haven't seen any of them except at that lady's funeral a year ago for a long time, because after I started working at Lockheed, well, I still kept up with it for a while, but then, long about the end of the war, the group kind of disintegrated. See, so many of the fellows had gone into service, and different ones had got married and moved away and all this and that and the other, and she didn't have the group anymore. But by then I had made
friends with her. What sort of work did most of the other young women in the group do?
Well, let's see. Some of them went to, quite a few of them worked in homes. But some of them, of course, were natives out here. And a lot of them got in on these government jobs that some of the rest of us didn't know enough to get in on. And that kind of thing. So, let's see. And there were a few of them that were going to Pasadena City College.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were working as a waitress when you saved the money for your car?
Yes.
And what did you, how did you go about getting your car?
Well, there was a fella came in there that I started dating, and he was real anxious to sell me a car. Although I went with him after a while after that, but I was pretty religious at the time, and when I found out he was divorced, I didn't want to go with him anymore. That's why we broke up. He was lots of fun, and he was nice, and he showed me how I could get this car, you know, and I had enough money saved for a down payment. I was going to have to finance it through a finance company, but I remembered this, knew I had still kept in touch with him, this family that I came out here to work for. That man had an insurance company. And I walked past his office when I went, I worked a split shift when I'd go to the apartment. So I stopped in there one day and told him that I had bought the car, made arrangements. I think I'd signed some kind of paper, but I hadn't financed it yet. And I told him that this insurance company or this finance company was going to insure it. But as soon as I had it paid for, I wanted him to insure it. So he asked me a few questions, and he said, oh, you'd be paying too much there. He said, I'll take you down to Bank of America. And he took me down to Bank of America and co-signed, and I got it for a lower rate of interest, and he insured me. So they were real very nice to me. But I think they were going to charge me 8% at that finance company, and I got it through Bank of America for 6.5%. And see, I didn't have any credit. You know, a waitress never has any credit. But Mr. Amesbury went in there. He knew the people because he insured a lot of their cars.
What kind of car was it?
A Chevrolet, Chevrolet coupe.
Now, was it a new car?
No, but it was only about 18 months used, and it had belonged to a businessman. It was in good condition.
Now, and you knew how to drive?
No, I had everybody teaching me how to drive. But you could at that time, you know. The traffic wasn't bad. One of the other waitresses, I got my learner's permit right away, and so this car salesman was teaching me how to drive, but as I say, then I found out he was divorced, and so I didn't want to go out with him anymore. So then that kind of stopped that. But one of the other car salesmen there at the agency where he worked did give me a few lessons, and then this girl, the waitress, and by then I got my driver's license, and I had it all doped out so that I could drive to work and go back and put the car right away, and I only had to make one left-hand turn.
It sounds like my father-in-law used to do that.
Only had to make one left-hand turn.
What made you decide to get a car?
Oh, I'd been used to a car all my life till I left home. We always had a car at home. You remember we said we had a car early. So I just thought it would be nice to have one, and I'd be more independent. Not that I didn't I had different boyfriends and dating and all that, but I wanted a car of my own, and so I got a car.
What, you mentioned that you'd become more religious.
Well, yes. This woman, this forum group, we had a Bible lesson every Sunday night. And, well, another thing, you know, I was still kind of young, and I just thought I didn't want to marry go with a guy that was divorced.
But so. you still had plans for marriage?
Still had plans for college, and I thought I would get married, but I mean, there again, it didn't bother me. I mean, it wasn't something that I was working toward like some of the women were. They thought they just had to. It just seemed to me like every woman did get married, and of course I didn't, but I supposed I would, but it didn't bother me at the time that I had not plenty of dates, but I had quite a few. I mean, I wasn't left sitting home all the time, and I went out fairly often.
Tell me more about your waitressing job. What was that like?
Oh, that was great. I made good tips because the first thing you know, I had a clientele to sit at my tables, and I think part of it was that I wanted to please them, and I watched for when they needed more coffee. Now, we had another girl there that sometimes people come in, they say they didn't want to sit at her table. Now, she was nice, but once she got the food on the table, she didn't bother to go back and look and see if they needed more coffee or their glasses needed filling up or this or that. And then I was fairly quick. I moved fast on my feet, and this was a tea room, but we didn't have a bus boy. And so, boy, as soon as my table was, as soon as they left, I cleared it real fast and set it up again so I can.
So you enjoyed the work then?
Yes. You know, actually, I always enjoyed it. I knew it was no kind of a thing to grow old in, and I did want to go on to college. But as far as liking it, I enjoyed it. And I can see why some of these women stay with it and never bother to do anything else if they don't have any additional ambition. But I'm sure glad I wasn't, that was all right when you're in your 20s, but I found out at the time I got to be 40, I wouldn't want to have been doing it. You know, it'd be too tiring. But I enjoyed it.
You stayed in waitressing until you began work at Lockheed?
No. Then I went to work, I left that place and got a better job, And then that woman's, oh, I know, this woman, that, this girl had been my roommate, got another job at this Bull Bell's, a tea room where you made much better tips, and the meals were more expensive. So she got me in there.
Mm.
Well, that worked out fine for about 6 weeks, and then a woman that had formerly worked for this at this Bull Bell's wanted to come back to work. So since I was last on, I was out of a job. I was fired. I mean, not for incompetence,
mm-hmm.
but because she wanted to hire this girl back. And so then I was out of a steady job for about 2 weeks, and then I got on at this other restaurant. That's the one where I had a chance to go to college, because I soon got on the breakfast shift there. And then those people were nice to work for, but that man had never managed a restaurant before, and he didn't know XYZ about managing a restaurant. And he went broke.
Mm.
Well, that is the second restaurant I was in that went broke. But in both cases, they were people that had never had restaurant experience. And I think that you should not try to get into a business until you've had some experience. Actually, there were things I did there. I could see that they were doing them wrong, but, you know, you don't tell the boss that. And so when that went broke, there was a lady, she was on radio, and she wanted somebody to, she needed a maid, although their house was small, and it was mostly somebody to cook and be with the children and drive the cars, to drive the car and take the kids to school and that kind of thing. I did not wear a uniform, as I recall. Maybe I had one left over from my, I think I had some left over from the restaurant I wore, but it wasn't any of this where you wore black with a white apron, nothing like that. And I ate with them quite a bit of the time, I think most all the time. Their table was only so big, and if I ate with them at dinner, I would have had to put the table out, so I preferred to eat in the kitchen and read the newspaper. But, I mean, it wasn't any of the, at lunchtime I ate with her and the kids if she was home for lunch. And so then, after a while, I met somebody, met this girl. She was working for some very wealthy people that wanted what they called a second maid. And there, I did some cleaning, not a lot. They had a laundress. They had a big home over in San Marino. They get their, well, it doesn't anymore, but when this lady died, it was even in the Valley News. They were well-known, wealthy people. And I didn't have to do any cooking except on the cook's day out, and that was always easy because the cook left what was to be done, and they had a dishwasher, even in, this was before the war now. I mean, everything was so handy there. And but a lot of the things that I did was drive the kids to school. They had four children. Drive them to school, drive them to their dancing lesson, drive them to their Cub Scout meeting. I don't know where all I drove those kids, but it seemed, but now there, I always had time to rest in the afternoon. Always, once in a while there'd be an exception if the kids had something extra. But a lot of it was, the biggest thing was those kids had to even make their own bed because their father said they should do some kind of work. You didn't want lazy kids. But I did have to clean the master bathroom, and once a week I vacuumed. But now I didn't have to do I only had to do the bedrooms. I didn't have to vacuum out in the living room. Well, maybe I did once when the cook was on vacation.